And we will begin on Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph at the end of the third line, Ela Amar Vashi. We had learned in our previous year in the Mishnah that a shoich b'Shabbos, that if somebody shechts in Shabbos, the Mishnah taught us that the shechit is considered a valid shechita. Shechita said sheva. But the Mishnah, the Gemara said, Rav said, that the halacha is that even though the shechita is considered a kosher shechita, the halacha is one may not eat from that meat that was slaughtered on Shabbos until after Shabbos. And Rav's colleagues said that when Rav was saying this psak halacha, he was following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara spent the entire daf in our previous shiur trying to identify which opinion of Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas is the basis of saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that meat would not be allowed to be eaten on Shabbos. The Gemara essentially tried to connect it to a question of Hilchas Muksa, but the Gemara was not successful in connecting it to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in issues regarding to Muksa. So therefore, our Gemara now begins with a different approach. Elam Rav Ashi, Rabbi Yehuda the Mevashalhi. We refer to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding somebody who cooks food on Shabbos. That's not, for the Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Shabbos. Hamavashal b'Shabbos, if somebody cooks food on Shabbos b'shogeg, yoichel. That food may be eaten. We're now mentioning the opinion of Reb Meir. And according to Rashi, in our Masechet's understanding of Reb Meir's opinion, Reb Meir holds and makes no difference if for him or for the person who cooked or for anyone else. The halacha is that if the food was cooked b'shogeg, it may be eaten. B'mezid, if it was done b'mezid, there the halacha is lo yoichel, it may not be eaten, divrei Meir. It may not be eaten until Matzoi Shabbos. However, Rashi says that not only may it not be eaten until Matzoi Shabbos, but on Matzoi Shabbos we have to wait b'chdei shi'asu. We have to wait the amount of time it would take to cook this, to prepare, to do this melacha. And again, the reasoning is very simple. Because we don't want someone to benefit from melacha Shabbos. So if someone is going to be able to eat from this food immediately Matzoi Shabbos, he will have benefited from the Chilul Shabbos, because otherwise he would have to wait Matzoi Shabbos to cook the food. And therefore, the halacha is that we wait Matzoi Shabbos b'chdei shi'asu, the amount of time it takes to cook this food. That is Rashi's opinion. There are Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yoina, who disagree, and they hold that even on Matzoi Shabbos you could wait. Matzoi Shabbos you don't have to wait b'chdei shi'asu, because they explain that when did Chazal institute the din of b'chdei shi'asu, they only said b'chdei shi'asu in situations where there's a real concern that one will become lax in Hilchos Shabbos. For example, under certain circumstances, one may not benefit from melacha that was done by a goy on Shabbos. So the halacha is that Matzoi Shabbos, we have to wait b'chdei shi'asu, we have to wait that if a goy did melacha on behalf of a Jew on Shabbos, we shouldn't benefit from it on Matzoi Shabbos b'chdei shi'asu, otherwise we're concerned that we may come to benefit from the melacha of a goy. Or another example, the Gemara discusses a situation where somebody put all the food on the fire right before Shabbos, and it cooked on Shabbos, which is awesome. So there the halacha is that not only should that food not be eaten on Shabbos, but even on Matzoi Shabbos, we should wait b'chdei shi'asu until we eat the food. Why? Because in all of these situations that I just identified, we're speaking about situations where people don't recognize the severity of the Aveira being committed. And therefore there's a real concern that somebody will come to do the Aveira somebody will come to do the wrong thing. However, in the case that we're speaking about
in our Gemara where it's not obvious, where it's obvious that what's being done is wrong. The case we're speaking about is where somebody deliberately was Mechal Shabbos. There is no need to make this Gzeira. And the halacha Rabbeinu Yonah says is that Matzoi Shabbos we could eat from the food immediately. Furthermore, the post can point out that even though we're having now this discussion, if Matzoi Shabbos we have to wait B'chdei Shiasu or we don't have to wait B'chdei Shiasu, the post can point out that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem later in our shir that if somebody cooked food on behalf of somebody who's not well on Shabbos, so a well person is not allowed to eat from that food, say the Paiskim, that there everybody will agree that even though a healthy person is not allowed to eat from that food that was cooked on Shabbos, he won't have to wait on Matzoi Shabbos, the shear of Echdei Shiasu, in order to be able to eat the food. He'll be able to eat that food immediately. And the reason is very obvious, because there was nothing wrong done in the preparation of this food. It was cooked with a heter to an ill person, and therefore you don't have to wait Matzoi Shabbos B'chdei Shiasu. This is the opinion of Rameh. Rabbi Yehuda, Aymer, B'shogeg Yoichel B'Matzoi Shabbos. And again, as Rashi explains, we don't differentiate between the person who cooked it or anyone else. According to Yehuda, no one should benefit from an act from Chilul Shabbos, even if it was done b'shogeg, and therefore, when the food was cooked b'shogeg, neither the person who cooked it nor anyone else should eat it till Matzoi Shabbos b'chdei shiyasa. B'mezid, the person who cooked it b'mezid lo yoichel elamis, should never eat the food, because since he did this aveira b'mezid, Chazal were canceled him. Chazal find him that he should never have any benefit from this food. That is only specifically, however, the person who cooked the food, no one else. And furthermore, as Rashi explains, and so is the opinion of most Mefarshim, that this is only a knas. It's a punishment for having deliberately the Mechal Shabbos. There is an opinion of the Levush that says the counter of Yehuda, very similar to the next opinion we're going to learn in the Braisa, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, someone who cooked food on Shabbos, somebody who was Mechal Shabbos b'mezid, is not allowed to benefit from that food midoraisa. That's not the way Rashi learns. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Rabbi Yochanan has a different sound. B'shogeg yoichel matzah Shabbos, on matzah Shabbos, if it was cooked b'shogeg, it only may be eaten on matzah Shabbos, and it only may be eaten lachayim to other people v'loy loy, not to the person who cooked it himself. And the reason Rabbi Yochanan Sandler takes the strict opinion is because Rabbi Yochanan says kontzu shogeg atamezit. Then when amezit, the halacha is that the person can never benefit from it, as we'll see in a moment. Says Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, so too will we treat the person who cooked the food himself, even though he cooked it b'shogeg, that he may not eat it ever. Other people will be more lenient, that they'll be allowed to eat it Matzoi Shabbos. B'mezid, if the food was cooked b'mezid, the halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is lo yocha lomis, it should never be eaten loy loy v'loy lacherim, not by the person who cooked it, nor by anyone else. And the basis for Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's opinion is, as the Gemara Masechta Shabbos teaches us, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, the pasuk says, v'shmartem es haShabbos ki kodesh hi lochem, ma kodesh, just like kodesh we know is also b'chila, hegdesh is also b'chila, so too af mas haShabbos also b'chila, anything that was done through chil Shabbos may not be eaten. Continues the Gemara Masechta Shabbos to suggest, so if so, even if the food was cooked b'shogeg, why, according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, is it mutter, at least lachem, to other individuals? So the Braisa in Masechta Shabbos continues, mechalem mos yumos, that this din is only b'mezid amarti, is only done when something was done b'mezid and not b'shogeg. So we have now this three-way machloikus, And our Gemara, therefore, our Rabashi is saying that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that if food was cooked on Shabbos, it may never be eaten. And similarly, if meat was slaughtered on Shabbos, it may never be eaten. Ask the Gemara if that's the basis of our Mishnah for Nukma B'mezid. Why don't we say that our Mishnah is speaking about somebody who shechted B'mezid? And then we could say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Meir, because according to Rav Meir, also, if Chilul Shabbos was done B'mezid, that food may not be eaten. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara would like to explain that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Meir, because we know throughout Shas, Stam Mishnah, Rav Meir. An anonymous Mishnah, we explain, follows the opinion of Rav Meir. Answers the Gemara L'Shalka Daitach. To say that our Mishnah specifically speaking about a case of Mezid doesn't seem to fit the Tani, because our Mishnah compares Shabbos to Yom Kippur. Now Yom Kippur, it would make no difference if the meat was slaughtered Loshna B'Shoigig Loshna B'Mezid. If the meat was slaughtered B'Shoigig B'Mezid, Loyochol, one would not be allowed to eat the meat, because on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat. Af Hachinami. So in our Mishnah, when it speaks about Shabbos, it makes sense not to differentiate B'Shoigig Loshna B'Shoigig Loshna B'Mezid, Loyochol may not be eaten. So if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that's very understandable. Because indeed, it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that meat that anything that's done with Chilul Shabbos cannot be eaten. But if we're following the opinion of Rav Meir, that thing is only B'mezid, not B'shagig, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say that that's the basis of to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Meir. Ask the Gemara, so we're saying that our Mishnah is speaking about a case of Shoyig, and it's following the opinion of Yehuda, that whatever it was Chilul Shabbos, one may not benefit from that Chilul Shabbos, even if it was only B'Shoyig, and therefore, Rav taught us in our previous shir, that if the meat was slaughtered on Shabbos, even if it was slaughtered B'Shoyig, since we're following the opinion of Yehuda, we would not be allowed to eat that meat. But let's learn the words of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Hashoychet." And the Mishnah said in Shabbos b'Yom Kippurim, "Apish m'schayv b'nafshoy." Now, when is one chayv mis rachmal tzlon? One is chayv mis rachmal tzlon when he did the aveira b'mezid. So, isn't that clear indication that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of mezid, not shoyig? Says the Mara, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Hoch kamer, apy. Even though somebody did such a serious aveira by shechting on Shabbos, where if he would do this aveira b'mezid, rachman otzlam mischayi b'nafshehu, it would be warrant a chiyuv misa, hocha, that he did it b'shagig shchitasik sheira. But it's not to mean, says the Gemara, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the shchita was actually done b'mezid. Ask the Gemara, so we've explained why we can't say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Meir. But ask the Gemara, why shouldn't we say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? That Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's opinion is, and as the Rajba explains, the Gemara is specifically reiterating the entire opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. We already mentioned at the beginning of this year, because what the Gemara is trying to do is contrast Rabbi Yochanan Sandler to Rav Meir. We explained, says the Rashi in explaining the Gemara, that our Mishnah cannot follow the opinion of Rav Meir, because our Mishnah is speaking even in a case of Shoyig, and Rav Meir holds that if the Chilul Shabbos was done with Shoyig, the food would be allowed to be eaten. But Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, says the Gemara, Loishna b'shagig, loishna b'mezid. He doesn't differentiate if it was a shagig or a mezid. So therefore, our Mishnah could fit the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, even though it can't fit with the opinion of Rav Meir, and therefore ask the Gemara, why don't we say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? The Shita has a different approach, why our Gemara is anxious to try to explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. He says it's very much connected to the previous piece of Gemara. Our Gemara asked the question, that how are we saying that our Mishnah is speaking about a shayik situation where the Mishnah used the words afalpi shemeschayiv benafshoy, which seems to indicate amazed. That's a question that we follow the opinion of Reb Meir, or but if we follow the opinion of Reb Yochanan Sandler, then Reb Yochanan Sandler says that amazed, it's completely possible. It's also tita meat. Midaraisa, we could now explain that our Mishnah is telling us a very bechiddush. That even though Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is taking this very serious, the strict interpretation, and he says that if the meat was slaughtered the mezid, it will be usuk by this for this person forever. The Mishnah, on the other hand, is teaching us that b'shogig it could be eaten as shchitasuk shera. So it would make great sense to say that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Answers the Gemara. The reason our Mishnah, we can't say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yochanan Sandler. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler kamafuk b'matzah Shabbos, because Rabbi Yochanan Sandler said that a matzah Shabbos only a cherim, other people may eat of the food that was prepared with chil Shabbos. V'loy loy, the person who was, he himself was machal Shabbos would not be allowed to eat that meat. Tana didon, but if we learn our Mishnah makes a blanket statement. Shchitasuk sherekani. It just says that the meat is kosher. And it doesn't differentiate. Loishna loy, v'loishna lecherim. It doesn't make a difference to the person who did the chil Shabbos and someone else. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, the Mishnah should have mentioned such a difference. That Matzah Shabbos, the shchit is ksheira, but only to others, not to the person who shechted. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't make this distinction is clearly an indication that our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler and follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And actually, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is that meat that whenever there's chil Shabbos, the halacha is that if it was done b'shogeg, it's Matzah Shabbos, it's mutter to everyone. And if it was done b'mezid, for the person who did the chil Shabbos may never benefit from it, other people can have benefit from Matzah Shabbos b'chdei shiyasu. That's the way the halacha is capacity. Interestingly, however, the Paiskim, the Ksav Sofer, says that even if Rabbi Yehuda takes this lenient opinion that we're describing, it's only in a case like our Mishnah, where the Gemara that we're discussing with the Mishnah that was quoted at the beginning of our Shir, where it was a Shoichet Hamavasho, it wasn't done on a regular basis. But says the Ksav Sofer, if we have a situation where on a regular basis this Chil Shabbos b'mezid, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that no one should benefit from that Chil Shabbos Matzah Shabbos, not certainly the person who was Mechal Shabbos, nor anyone else, because we want to prevent Chil Shabbos. That's the psak of the Ksav Sofer. But it's interesting to point out that I saw from Rav Nissim Karelitz in his Sefer Chut HaShani, based on what the Stifler says, that even though we have this psak of the Ksav Sofer, that we have to be strict in a case where there's a regular Chil Shabbos on a steady basis, every Shabbos b'mezid, he says that's only in a situation where by making this knas we will prevent Chil Shabbos. For example, as he explains, in Eretz Yisrael, where the religious population is a significant share of the population, so there, if we'll say that a factory that's Mechal Shabbos b'mezid on a regular basis, no one can eat from the product of that factory, it's possible that that factory will not operate on Shabbos if they have such a downturn in business. And therefore, as the Ksav Sofer says, no one should benefit from what's made in that factory. But in a case where even if we'll avoid benefiting or using products from a company that's open on Shabbos, that's Jewish owned, as Mechal Shabbos b'mezid, we won't have enough of the ability to create that this company should not be Mechal Shabbos. So we have the psak of Reb Yehuda, that there the halach is that Matzah Shabbos
after b'chdei shiasu, other people may eat that food, even or use that product, even was produced b'meizim. Interesting machloikas ha'poiskim. Our Gemara has been discussing when something was done, when a malacha d'raisa was violated. What would be the halacha by if it was a malacha d'rabbana? The levush takes a very serious point, and he says that if it was done by malacha d'rabbana, we have to be stricter than we are by malacha d'raisa, because people don't take malacha d'rabbana as seriously as they take malacha d'raisa, and therefore by malacha d'raisa we have to always wait till Matzoy Shabbos. The Prima Gadim says that we treat Malacha D'Raisa the same way as we treat Malacha D'Rabbanan. The Gra, and this is the opinion of the Mishnah Berura and the Chai Adam as well, that if somebody did a Malacha D'Rabbanan, if it was B'Shoyig, then you could immediately benefit from it. You don't have to wait for Matzah Shabbos. If it was b'mezid, that's when, since it was done b'mezid, you would have to wait till Matzah Shabbos. So they are more lenient by a malacha d'rabbanan. As I said, that's the order Mr. Brewer and the Chai Adam Paskin. Furthermore, there's a very interesting psak of the Chai Adam. He says, our Gemara that's taking this serious position regarding someone who's mechal Shabbos is only referring to a situation like shaychit or mevashel. If we think about the cases of shaychit and mevashel, these are cases where the actual item where it was chil Shabbos changed because of chil Shabbos. The food got cooked, the animal got slaughtered. But in a situation where even though there was a chil Shabbos, the item itself did not change, we could be more lenient. What would be the example? Let's say something was carried from Rishus HaYochet to Rishus HaRabim, or something was carried for Amos and Rishus HaRabim, even though there was Chil Shabbos, but that didn't change the actual item that was carried on Shabbos. It was what it is before the carrying and after the carrying, we could be more lenient. However, I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Moshe say that this leniency of the Chai Adam is only in a case where the food didn't change, but not only that the food didn't change, but there's another point. I could have eaten it without the Chil Shabbos. An example, again, our example. The food was taken from Rishus HaYochet to Rishus HaRabim. So I could have gone to Rishus HaYochet and eaten this food. Therefore, since nothing happened to the food itself, and I could have had it in Rishus HaYochet, that's where we could be more lenient. But let's say we have indeed a prepared food, but it was in a locked box, for example, and there's no way of getting into that box without doing Chil Shabbos or breaking the box. So even though the Chil Shabbos did not involve the food itself, it only involved the box in which the food is, since we could have never eaten this food without Chil Shabbos, even the Chai Adam, they suggest, would agree that it has a din, like the case that we're discussing in our shir, that you're not allowed to benefit from something that was done with Chil Shabbos. Furthermore, the Poskim, the Bi'ur Halacha, discusses, in the cases of our Gemara, where we say that you can't eat the food until Matzah Shabbos, so that the punishment for being Mechal Shabbos is very evident. We have to wait until Matzah Shabbos till you could eat the food. But they ask, he says, in a case where by making this knas, there really is no repercussion. For example, he says, let's say somebody planted something on Shabbos. So if you plant something on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to benefit from it anyway on Shabbos. It takes time for the tree to grow. There the halacha is that you would have to, the only way to avoid benefiting from Shabbos is that you have to completely rip out that tree that was planted on Shabbos, and replanted after Shabbos. An interesting question that I saw along these lines that the Paiskim discuss is, let's say somebody did laundry on Shabbos. Of course, Kibbutz is a Malacha D'Raisa. What would be the Halacha?
Here too, do we have to just wait Matzah Shabbos the amount of time to do the laundry? Or perhaps, since perhaps here, that you will never be able to wear this garment again. Says the Gemara, Tana Tanaka made the Rav. So the following brice was torn in front of the Rav. Hamvash b'Shabbos, if somebody cooks on Shabbos, b'shoygi yoichel, if it was b'shoygi you may be eaten, b'mezit lo yoichel. U'mashtik le Rav. And when this Tana taught this brice, Rav said, please don't say it. Ask the Gemara, might have a mashtik le. Why did Rav do so? Ask the Gemara, Elaim mishum the sphere like Rabbi Yehuda. Are we going to suggest, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Tanak Rameya, and this Bryce is following the opinion of Rameya? Ask the Gemara, mishum the sphere like Rabbi Yehuda, just because he follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, man the Tanak Rameya mashtikle? If somebody's going to say Rameya's opinion, he's going to say you shouldn't say it. As the Shem Tzion Malacha explains, it's against our way of learning. Our way of learning is to expose ourselves to all opinions and not to silence anyone's opinion. And furthermore, asked the Gemara, Mi sovel k'Rabbi Yehuda? Does Rav really follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? V'ar kanaber ami, k'mayor l'Rav l'talmidei, when Rav would teach his talmidim, mayor l'Rameya, he would paskin like Rameya, when he was speaking to talmidei chachamim. Only the Chidarish Rapirka, when he said a public lecture, there Darish Rabbi Yehuda, would he say that Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? Because he was concerned for the Amoritz that we shouldn't be lenient. So somebody passing like Rabbi Meir is not such a terrible thing. V'chi Tema, and if you'll suggest that this Braisa was said to Rav, Tana Rapirka Tana Kamei, it was said to Rav when he was saying a public lecture, ask the Gemara, as the first explained, the way the lectures were given was as follows. The Rav, in this case Rav, would say whatever he had to say to the Talmidim sitting in front of him. And they would respond to him if they had any comments. But that wasn't heard by the general public. What was heard by the public is what the Amora, or in other places in Chassis, called the Meturgman would say. So even if this Talmud was saying to Rav a braisa that followed the opinion of Rameyer, it was only Rav who heard it, and we're worried that the general public should not hear it. It was only Rav who heard it, not the general public. Answers the Gemara, Om Rav Nachmi Yitzchak, Tana Shoichet Tana Kamei the Rav. There was a different braisa that was said. It said, HaShoichet B'Shabiz, the son of Shech B'Shagviz. So he said, "B'shoygi yoichel, b'mezid lo yoichel." Amalei. So Rav said to this Tana, "My datich, based on whose opinion are you passing this way? Because you obviously hold a Rameyer." So he said to him, "At kalik asher Rameyer, you know where Rameyer takes this lenient opinion, el b'mavasho, the roy locus, because we don't have a muks issue, because food could be eaten raw. Avos shoychet, a live animal." The enroy locust obviously cannot be eaten. We have a problem of muksa. Ask the Gemara from Masnitzin, our mission that we've been learning, the Shaykhadu, we're obviously speaking about Shaykhid. And as we have been learning, that the meat that's slaughtered on Shabbos may not be eaten all Shabbos. V'nosin chavrayi l'meimer, and the colleagues of Rav said, that's Rabbi Yehudahi, according to Rameyer, it's mutter. But now we're saying that even according to Rameyer, it's Osir. It may not be Osir because of the issue that we've been discussing in today's shir, how we treat Maisa Shabbos, how we treat something that had Chil Shabbos involved with it, but now Rameyer is teaching us that there's a new concept. There's a concept of Muksa when we have meat that was slaughtered on Shabbos because the behemoth before Shabbos is certainly Muksa. The Rishonim debate, we mentioned in our previous year that throughout Shas, the Tana, who has the most lenient opinion as far as Hilchos Muksa, is Rav Shimon. What will Rav Shimon hold in this case? Some Rishonim say that in this case Rav Shimon would be lenient as well, but they didn't want to explain that it's following the opinion of Rav Shimon because Rav Shimon's name wasn't mentioned in that discussion. Rav Meir's name was mentioned, Rav Yehuda's name was mentioned, but not Rav Shimon. But then there are other Rishonim that suggest that even Rav Shimon, who has the most lenient view as far as Hilchos Muksa is concerned, will be Machmir here. Why? Because muksa, this speaks to the heart of the shayla of Hilchos Muksa. What does muksa say? What muksa says is that somebody sets it aside, he doesn't expect to have it. An animal, which is alive matzoi, which is alive Friday afternoon, ben hashmashes, everybody doesn't have any assumption that there's a way to eat this meat from this animal on Shabbos. And since it's so set aside, even Rav Shimon, who takes the lenient view, will here be machmer that it's muksa. Answers the Gemara. So now our question is, we've been learning that our Mishnah has to follow the opinion of Yehuda. It can't be following the opinion of Rameya. But now if Rameya teaches us that a live animal is muksor, it can follow even the opinion of Rameya. Answers the Gemara. Ki shari Rameya. What's it referring to? Kigoy shahoy lechayel mebayjoin. That there was somebody sick Friday afternoon. And since he was sick Friday afternoon, so we expected that we may have to slaughter the meat on his behalf. So there is no muksa issue, and there's also no ma'isa Shabbos issue according to Rameya. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that there's no muksa issue and there's no ma'isa Shabbos issue, my time to be Yehuda also, why according to Yehuda would be also? Answer the Gemara, kigoyim shayla chayla v'hivri. We're referring to a case where a person was sick Friday afternoon, so that's why the muksa issue has been set aside. V'hivri, but he got better, and they slaughtered on his behalf. So the entire issue is Maisa Shabbos, and as we've been learning, Rameya is lenient b'shoyig on Maisa Shabbos. Amishna seems to be machmer even b'shoyig, and that's why we have to explain that Amishna follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, not Rameya. Ask Tosfos, there's a discussion whenever we learn Hilchos Muksa, if Yesh Muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. That means, if there was something which was not Muksa at the onset of Shabbos, but it became muksa on Shabbos, is it considered muksa or not? This case is the perfect example, where the meat was not muksa, the animal was not muksa at the onset of Shabbos, because we had this sick person in our home who we were concerned we would have to shecht meat on his behalf. But as the Gemara said, the Hivri, he got better. So does it become muksa or not? If we hold that something becomes muksa on Shabbos, why isn't it muksa now? Even according to Rameya. So of course the simple teretz is that our Gemara is following the opinion that if something isn't muksa on Friday afternoon, it never will be muksa on the Shabbos. Another way that Tosfos answers is that when you have a person that's ill, ben hashmoshes, even if he gets better Baruch Hashem on Shabbos, it's likely that unfortunately he's going to have a relapse. And therefore the person still is assuming that perhaps he'll need to use this animal on Shabbos, to shech this animal on Shabbos, and therefore it remains no longer muksa. Up to the point that I saw that there's a shayla that the Tzitz Eliezer discusses, where Rav Tosfos is teaching us that somebody who's sick, the halacha is always concerned about a relapse. What would be the halacha, he discusses, if there was someone in the hospital who was discharged on Shabbos? Should he go home on Shabbos where it involved perhaps Chil Shabbos driving home? Or should we wait till Matzoi Shabbos? And the person who asked this question, that Tzitz Eliezer says, because we know that there are germs in the hospital, and this person who's sick, and as Tosfos just said, is very subject to relapse, perhaps we should take him as quickly out of the hospital as possible to take him away from a possible relapse. Says the Tzitz Eliezer that even though Tosfos says this svara, that svara cannot be used for Chil Shabbos to take the patient home on Shabbos. The Shita gives a different answer why we don't have this issue. He says, where do we have this question of Yesh Muksa L'Chatzi Shabbos? As a case where we had Grogers with smukim, raisins, that Bein HaShmoshes were edible. Then on Shabbos, they became inedible, so the muksa, that the halacha is, yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, and even if they become edible again, they remain muksa. But if there was no change in the item itself, the animal, nothing changed in this animal on Shabbos, where the change was in the sick person's status, but not in the animal status, there we don't, everybody would agree that a muksel chatzi Shabbos, and if the animal in this case was a muksel on Friday afternoon, it will remain not muksel for the entire Shabbos. Says the Gemara, the kihad amar Rav Acha ba'ad amar Rav, v'amali amar Rav Yitzchak ba'ad amar Rav. Hashoich l'chayil b'Shabbos, if somebody shechs on behalf of a chayil on Shabbos, os labori. A healthy person may not eat from that meat. The reason he may not eat from that meat, we're speaking about a person who became ill on Shabbos, and therefore, as we just learned, everybody agrees that we have a mixed muksa situation. Havash l'chayil b'Shabbos. But if you cook for an ill person on Shabbos, mutlabari, my tama, high royal locus, the food was edible raw, so we don't have a muksa issue. The meat, the animal, and royal locus, we have a muksa issue. This is when the person got sick on Shabbos. However, continues Rapaba, pam shashaych and mutter. Sometimes there will be a situation that if you shecht on behalf of an ill person on Shabbos, everybody could eat it. Where? And the person was sick already Friday afternoon. So as we've been learning, there is no muksa issue, because he expected to have to shech the meat, the animal on Shabbos. And there's no chil Shabbos issue, because it was slaughtered on behalf of a sick individual. And there will be a case, even though we learned that there's no muksa, but there could be a case of, by food, not animal, where mevashel also, to go and shekot slaughter the last. In a case where they cut on Shabbos a cucumber from the ground, that's the way Rashi learns. So therefore, this cucumber was certain. So what happened was, we had a attached cucumber Friday afternoon. The attached cucumber Friday afternoon is certainly muksa. The person became sick only on Shabbos, and therefore they cut it and cooked it for him. But for everyone else, who's Baruch Hashem healthy, it remains muksa. Amar Rav Dimi min Adoy Hilchasa Hashoich l'chayil b'Shabbos. If somebody shechs on behalf of a sick person on Shabbos, meat, and he was already sick before Shabbos, so there's no problem of muksa and there's no problem of chil Shabbos. Mutal bar b'umsa. A healthy person may eat it raw. And again, something that we discussed in our previous year, there's obviously no issue of Malicha, because he's eating it without cooking. Al Gemara seems to teach us that you could eat that meat without Malicha. My Tama, Kim the Epshel, because I possible as Shechita, since you can't eat the meat without Shechita, Kika Shachit, when it's being slaughtered, adapted the Chayilka Shachit, for him Yelad Shech, and therefore even the healthy person could eat from it. Hamavashal Chayil B'Shabbos, Oslabari, but if you cook for Chayil on Shabbos, a healthy person may not eat from it, because we're concerned. In other words, when you slaughter an animal, it's the same act as shechita when it's a big animal or a small animal. But when you cook, we're concerned that you're going to cook more than you needed to, and therefore the halacha is that cooked food for a sick person may not be eaten by healthy people until Motzei Shabbos. But as I said at the beginning of this year, you would not have to wait b'chdei shi'asu. When we speak about Shema Yarva B'Shviloi, Machloikas Rajbe and Ran, how to understand the Gemara. The Rajbe says that if we're cooking for a sick individual and he needs one piece of meat and we put two pieces of meat in the pot, that isn't the Issa. The Issa, says the Rajbe, is that we're concerned that we're going to cook for the sick person, and after the food is being cooked already, we're going to add more food in the pot on behalf of a healthy individual, and that's where we have Gzeira Shemiyava B'Shvilah. But according to Rajbah, if when we start putting the food in the pot, we put more than we needed, that isn't the Issa of Riba B'Shur. The Ran disagrees. And the Ran says that if you have a sick person, and we're indeed allowed to cook for that sick person, and we're cooking for him one piece of meat, and then we have more, and then we put in more than that one piece of meat on behalf of other people who are not sick, that's usher to do on Shabbos. That falls into the category of Chil Shabbos. So the Yechrayim, the Meches Chinuch, asks, according to the Ran, would one be allowed to shech a bigger animal? We said that if you shech an animal on Shabbos for a sick person,
even healthy people are allowed to eat from that animal. Because you didn't do anything extra on behalf of the healthy person. So suggest the Michas Chinah that according to the Ran, we should look for the smallest animal or the smallest chicken needed, because we're only allowed to do for the healthy, for the sick person, not for the healthy person. And according to the Ran, we're not allowed to do anything more, and slaughtering a bigger animal when we could have slaughtered a smaller animal should therefore be also. Says the Dar Sameach that even the Ran would be makel over here, because he explains as follows. By all, by Mivashel, for example, so there's a shear how much there is, how much you cook to be chay from Mivashel. The shear we learned in Masechta Shabbos is a kegroitus. So every drop of food that you cook that you didn't need to cook, tells us the Ran, involves chilul Shabbos, even though it was done in one act of cooking. However, says Dar Sameach in explaining the opinion of the Ran, when it comes to Shechita, the Isser is Netilas Neshama, taking away a life. And Netilas Neshama is the same when it's a big animal or a small animal, a big bird or a small bird. And therefore, there is no reason to differentiate, and the Ran will agree that there is no reason to specifically look to slaughter a smaller animal or a smaller bird on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Shoich b'magal yad, if somebody slaughters an animal with a sickle. And the sickle, as we're going to learn, had two edges. One is smooth and one is serrated. So we have to smooth sheft, as we learned many times, with a smooth side. So therefore the halacha is that you could, you should not sheft with a magal yad, because as we learn in the Gemara, you may come to shech with the wrong side. Bitzor, with a piece of rack, bekana, with a sharp reed, in all these cases, shkitasik shera. Furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah, hakol shoichtim, ula oilam shoichtim, bekal shoichtim, chutz v'magel katzer, you're not allowed to use a sickle, since it's serrated, v'amageira, a saw, v'shinayim, animal teeth. And the way Rashi explains animal teeth is that the animal teeth are still in the animal's head, and therefore since there are spaces between the teeth, it's not like a smooth knife that we're supposed to use. V'vnei she'chankim, they strangled rather than cut properly, and therefore it should not be used to do the shlita. So our Mishnah is teaching us, ha'shoichet, the evet in, l'chatchil aloi. You can't, it's only unacceptable, it's only acceptable b'dieved, not l'chatchila. Bishlom v'magal yad, we understand why you should not l'chatchila shecht with this sickle, because as we explained in the Mishnah, there are two edges on the sickle, one is smooth and one is serrated, and we're concerned d'ma osla mevet b'idav kisa. And Rashi says, based on this, that one should not shecht with a knife that has in it a pegima, because we're concerned that you may end up cutting on the, just like when you have this knife, the sickle that has two sides, we're concerned you're going to come cut with the side that's usher. Certainly when you have a knife that has one edge that has on it a pegima, you should not use it, because you may come to shech with a part that's pogum. However, b'dieved, the halacha is, says the Ramah, that if the shoichet could tell us that he had a very long knife and he shechted the neck of the animal or the neck of the bird without coming close to the part that has the begima, the shechita would be kosher. But the Shach points out in explaining the Ramah, that's only in a case where the shoichet was aware before he began shechting that this knife had a begima. So he knew that the knife had a begima, and he knows to be careful not to shech with his begima, and he says with certainty that he was careful to shech that way, then the shechita is a kosher shechita. But in a case where he didn't know, the shech is machma. There are other rishonim that are more lenient than Rashi, and they say that if you put a piece of material around the place where there's a begima, a knife with a begima could be used. But ask the Gemara, our Mishnah seems to... So we're saying that our Mishnah is teaching us that these items could only be used
b'di'evet na l'chatchila. Ask the Gemara, tzar v'kana l'chatchila loy, cannot be used l'chatchila for minu. The Brisa says, b'kal sharchdim, b'im tzar, b'im b'zchuchis, b'im b'krumisho kana. So it says clearly that you're allowed to use all of these items. There's a very interesting machloikis ha'achroinim. The Bach's opinion is, of course, our minig, it's important to say, as all the Paiskim say, is that we only shecht with a metal knife. But as we're learning, you're allowed to use other items. But the Bach says that we follow the order of the Braisa. And if somebody doesn't have a metal knife available, he should use first a tsar, then a zchuchis, and then a krumah shokana. The tfurish shor doesn't seem to agree, and he says that there's no preference one of the other. But again, the question is, Amish seems to be saying that you can't use these items l'chatchila, and the Braisa says you can. Answer the Gemara, loy kasha. The Braisa is referring to a situation where these items were detached from the ground, then they could be used even l'chatchila. Amish is referring to mechubar, where they're still attached. Domrav, kahana, hashoich b'mechubar l'karka, Rebbe Paisel, Rebchi Machsha. If you check with something that's still attached, Rebbe holds its posel and Rebchi holds its kosher. And he says, even Rebchi who takes this lenient opinion is only lenient b'diyevid. Avol chatchilo, even Rebchi will agree it shouldn't be used, and that's what our Mishnah is speaking about. Ask the Gemara. But my kimta. So how we've explained our Mishnah? We explained that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebchi, and Rebchi agrees that items that are still attached to the ground may only be used b'diyevid. Ask the Gemara, Alahad Tanya, the Braisa says, B'kol shochtim, b'im b'tolush, b'im mechubar, b'im shesakin l'mal v'tzav b'im l'mata, whether the knife is on top and the animal's neck is below. B'im shesakin l'mata, the knife is on bottom, v'tzav b'im l'mal, mani, it's whose opinion will this Braisa be following? It seems not to be following not the opinion of Rabbi Loi Rabbi Chia. Because Rav Chia l'chatchila loy, Rav Chia says that you can't use these items l'chatchila, and this Braisa says you may. Rebbe holds that even the Eved you can't use them, and this Braisa says that you can. Answers the Gemara, la'olam Rav Chia. Rav Chia permits using attached items even l'chatchila, and that the high. If so, why did they argue with the case of the Eved? But the Yachad Koichad the Rebbe, why in the Braisa, which Rav Kahana said, where we had a Machlokes of Chia and Rebbe, which is referring to a B'dievet situation, but the Yachad Koichad the Rebbe, we want to show you how lenient Rebbe, how Machmer Rebbe is, that even B'dievet he's Machmer. So the question is, don't we have a rule throughout Shas Koich that Teri Adif, and why didn't we want to explain that it's going according to Rav Chia, and Rav Chia is makel even l'chatchila by these items? So Tosfos answers, since there's already another Braisa where we see Rav Chia's lenient opinion, we don't have to keep on teaching it in every Braisa. But now we're explaining that Rav Chia holds that you could shecht with an attached item even l'chatchila. So now we're back to having a difficulty with our Mishnah. El Ramas Nisan, the Tani HaShoichid, our Mishnah which is speaking about it with the Eved in. L'chatchila, only speaking about a diavdic situation. Mani loy Rav Chia, loy Rabbi Rav Chia. Because if according to Rav Chia, you could use something attached even l'chatchila. And I'm just saying it's only by the Yavid. If Rabbi, he holds even the Yavid nami loy. Answers the Gemara, loy loy Rav Chia. I'm just following the opinion of Rav Chia, and the din is afil l'chatchila. Or Misnison, and our Mishnah that says Hashoichit, Rabbi he. But ask the Gemara, but not as a stira between Rebbe and Rebbe. Here our Mishnah seems to teach us that Rebbe holds that you can use an attached item b'dievet. And in the Braisa, Rebbe said you can't even use it b'dievet. Answers the Gemara, can m'chubah m'mkara, something that was always attached, cannot be used according to Rebbe even b'dievet. Can b'tolish b'psaif chibroi, but if it was first detached and then became attached, there Rebbe will be makel b'diavad. Ask the Gemara, Umanot Tamer the Shonalab and Mechum Mekara, Latos Lubsaif Chibra. Where do we come to make this distinction? That something that was attached always, according to Rebbe, is possible even b'diavad. But if it's Talush Lubsaif Chibra, it's kosher B'di'evit, the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Hashoich b'mukhni, if somebody shechts an animal with a wheel, and that means he connected a knife to a wheel, and he turns the wheel, and that's how the knife cuts the animal's neck, shkitasik sheva. B'mechub l'karka, shkitasik sheva. Not sakin the koisel, if somebody attached a knife to the wall for shachatba, and he shechted with that, he moved the neck of the animal back and forth over the knife, and all these cases, shchitasik sheva. However, hayat sur yotzmin a koisel, if there's a sharp stone coming out of the wall, a kana oilam elav, there was a reed growing, for shachatba, and he shechted, shchitasik psula. So we have a kashan adadi. Isn't this self-contradictory? First the Braisa says something attached is going to be a kosher shechita. And then the Braisa says that if it's attached, it's not a kosher shechita. Elash mamina. Shani ben mechum mekarka. Mikara. If it was always attached, according to Rebbe, it's possible even by the Eved. Latol shalom soif chibroi, where it's not kosher lechatchila, but it's kosher by the Eved. And that is what Amish is teaching us. Amish is following the opinion of Rebbe and is talking about something which was Tolish Lubsoif Chibroi that should not be used L'chatchila, but is kosher B'di'evit.